Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This morning, we've got a marvelous book to talk about. Some of the best books to talk about are the memoirs, or the books that are based on a true story, because not only, of course, is the writing process fascinating, but then there's just the aspect of a storyteller telling a great story. Scott Carpenter joins us on the phone this morning. He's the author of a book that's coming out called French Like Moi, A Midwesterner in Paris. Hey, Scott, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Lisa. Happy to be here.
So you are a professor at Carleton, correct?
I am.
And you went on sabbatical, and you said, I've got an idea. Tell us about your idea.
Well, it seemed pretty simple at the outset, right? Moving to Paris for a while, why not purchase an apartment and settle in? So I'm a prof of French and spent a fair amount of time in the country anyway. So I took the opportunity to drag my family over and engage in this adventure of trying to acquire a little bit of property and with relatively modest means. And it led from one disaster to another.
Well, one of the first things, I guess, that I thought about when I started to read some descriptions about the book, it's coming out in July, and we'll be talking about that in just a moment, was that Minnesotans, we're not fancy people. And when we think about France, when we think about Paris in particular, we think fancy, cosmopolitan, sophisticated, worldly. And we're kind of not those people. Was that a part of the problem, or was it just, tell us the story.
That was part of the fun. Yeah, part of the problem, but also part of the fun, right? So France and Paris in particular has got this reputation of being the sleek, sexy, urbane, sophisticated place. And in Minnesota, we think of ourselves as being plain-spoken, down-to-earth, people of few words. And putting the two together is a little bit like, remember those volcanoes we used to make in elementary school? You put baking soda and vinegar together, and all of a sudden all of this churning happens. That's sort of what happens when you put Minnesotans in Paris.
Well, give us a for instance.
Oh, man, there are just so
there
many.
There are so many. Yes, I realize it. This.
Yeah. So one of the things is that in France, people tend to hold very tight to their to culture and to learning, and they like to show it and they like to teach it. It's a very a sort of pedagogical experience just to go to the supermarket or the cheese shop. And every time you go into a little shop, it ends up being this massive education that, you know, you just wanted to get a piece of cheese, and you end up spending half an hour there learning about, you know, where the cheese was produced and what kind of cheese it was and who the cows are and what their names are and things like that.
Now, in Minnesota, when we're not being Minnesota nice, we would be impatient a little bit with that sort of thing. Did you make the mistake of being impatient with that sort of thing?
I made that mistake a little bit, but then I learned that it's actually kind of fun to just let it go. So if you're able to give in to that, I don't know, sort of give into the situation and roll with it, it ends up being pretty interesting. It all came to me several years ago when I was leading a group. I was sort of hired to help a group of Americans in southwestern France. And I joined the team sort of late, and the tour operators had put it all together very cleanly, and they had everything down to the minute, and they wanted to make sure the bus was stopping at the right instant for just the right picture, and we get to the chateau at just the right moment for the cloud cover to be perfect. And so everything was just minutely organized. And one day, we went back to the hotel to find that it had been burgled in our absence. Safes had been ripped from the wall. Everybody had lost money, passports, jewelry, and suddenly chaos ensued. And that's when I discovered that it's actually a lot more fun in France when things start going wrong. That became the leitmotif.
Are French people, and of course generalizations are kind of tricky, but I've seen, I guess, in Minnesota, many times if we meet someone who, for example, is not fluent in English, we really want to help. maybe we do it the wrong way, maybe we make gaffes, but we really want to help, and we're supportive and we're loving and we're stumbling all over ourselves to try to make things a little bit easier for them. Are they like that in Paris, or we have the stereotype that they would look down on anyone who, you know, was not a fluent French speaker?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, there's this long tradition of Americans feeling ill at ease when they go to France, and feeling that they, if they don't speak the language perfectly, they are going to be looked down upon or be at a great disadvantage. Of course, things have changed over the years, and people are much more accepting of different language levels. But it is true that in France, there's a kind of an infatuation with their own language. They're the people who have the Académie Française, which is this institute that just oversees and sort of governs the language. Can you imagine having such a thing in the U.S.?
Oh, can we get one? When can we? How soon can we get one?
Yeah.
Who do we talk to?
We have a U.S. institute that governs the use of semicolons or something.
No, that will make people say you and me instead of you and I.
Or there we go.
Or he and I. We're going, yeah. And spelling
yeah, so
and
in
things.
In France, they have that language police. Yeah.
All right. I like it. I like it. I'm a big fan, unfortunately. Yeah, I guess I'm one of those. Unless it's somebody who is struggling with again, or
sure.
who has a... I have so much admiration for people who speak more than one language, and it's easy to be a snob about your language until you realize that somebody else is communicating with you in a language that they weren't just sort of handed from birth. And then it makes you humble, or at least it should.
Well, there's nothing more humbling than to throw yourself into a foreign language and a foreign culture, and suddenly you find out how difficult it is, and it creates a lot of empathy for other folks who are dealing with it in return.
One of the there's a concept that I'm taking a couple liberties with, but there's a concept in Buddhist thought about beginner's mind, where you basically kind of shelve everything that you already know, and you're just open to learning as though you were a very young person, and you put kind of the ego on the shelf, too, and you just learn. Talk about some of those experiences for you.
Yeah, well, it's hard to shelve one's ego, isn't it? But you find yourself in enough humiliating circumstances that you sort of realize that if you don't shelve your ego, it's going to end up fairly bruised, fairly damaged. I think that for me, my guiding principle was just to throw myself into situations that would require me to perform difficult things that where I didn't really understand or could not predict how they were going to end up. So. Decided to remodel the apartment at one point, and it turns out that, you know, hardware stores are different in France, and the kinds of tools that you have access to are different, and the building materials are different, and you have to get permissions and authorizations for all sorts of things. And it's the kind of enterprise that if you actually understood how complicated it was going to be before you started, you would never start that.
Which is maybe why it's constructed that way. You never know.
Yeah. But so you have to have this kind of openness, and you throw yourself in and you say, I wonder where this is going to go. And it usually goes somewhere pretty interesting.
You know, the thing about humiliation is that after you've been humiliated enough, you realize you don't die. You may want to, but you don't die. And that does give you a sense of being almost bulletproof.
Yeah, that's been my experience so far. I'm not absolutely sure that I could not be humiliated to death, but it hasn't happened yet.
Exactly.
Generally, it's a pretty, it's an educational process.
Exactly. And of course, realize that new and better humiliations will always be out there waiting for you.
That's right.
About the time you think it can't get any worse, the universe goes, hold my beer. and then we go from there. But what about the experience? Now, you know, you're going through this experience. Of course, you're a French professor. You're going through this experience. You think this is going to be a wonderful adventure. Hey, let's do this. How's your wife and your daughter? How are they reacting to this whole thing as they're going through these experiences? Are they standing back and giggling, or where are they coming from during this?
Yeah, right. So grinning and bearing it much of the time. Now, I mean, there were like great helps through all of this, and generally a wonderful sort of audience for me to try my stories out on. Of course, you know, it's also been, all these things are difficult, you know, taking your teenage daughter and throwing her into middle school in France and things like that. Those are big challenges. But, you know, I think those are also character building experiences. And they're the kinds of things that when you look back on them, even if they were difficult, there are lots of pretty entertaining moments.
She'll be able to talk to her therapist about it in two languages.
Yeah, exactly.
And so there's always an upside. Now, the book is coming out in July, but you are having some virtual events and you're having some Zoom events, which is great because many of them are going to be headquartered down in the cities. And folks that are up here, of course, can take advantage of having the opportunity to chat with you a little bit about the book.
Right.
If folks go to your website, is that the best place for them to find out about where and how some of these opportunities may present themselves?
Yeah, that's probably the most central location. So that's sdcarpenter.com. The publisher's website, travelerstales.com, also is keeping up with all of the events. But you're right. I mean, so the book was supposed to come out in May, which was maybe not especially a propitious time for a book release with COVID-19. And July is maybe not going to be that much better, except that we're used to it a little. And so we'll have Zoom events that are being done in conjunction with various bookstores around the country and various organizations, the Alliance Française and French consulates, things like that. Many of those will be open to the public. And if people would like to Zoom in or Google Meets or whatever the technology du jour happens to be, that would be great.
Oh, that would. I really love the way things that are happening in other communities are open to us to take part in now in a way that they weren't before. And that's something I guess I'm personally really excited about. You had a Zoom event last night. Tell me what it was like for you. Now, of course, you're a teacher, which is going to give you some fluency and poise to begin with. What was the Zoom event like?
It was great. We had a lot of fun. So this was an event that was sponsored by the local bookstore, Content Bookstore, which is actually the only place in the country right now that has the actual book. We were able to get pre-release for sort of this local event. And so it was mostly aiming for the Northfield and the Carleton community, but we had people from, you know, a few people from all over the country and a lot of people from the cities. And it was a conversation that was led by Marcia DeSanctis, who's a wonderful journalist and writer, New York Times bestselling author. And so I did a little bit of a reading, and then we engaged in conversation about the particular ups and downs, the challenges of dealing with French culture, but also the way that it teaches us also a little bit about the culture that we come from. And sort of regaled people with a few of the selections from the book.
Fantastic. We'll get some links set up so it'll be easy for folks to find the information. Scott, thank you so very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks a lot, Lisa. It was a lot of fun.
Scott Carpenter, our guest this morning on Minnesota Reads. He's the author of a book called French Like Moi, A Midwesterner in Paris. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.